Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. It's good to have you join us again. There are very few people who don't enjoy a good movie. Our individual movie tastes obviously vary greatly, and we don't necessarily confine ourselves to watching films that are designed to teach or shape us. Have you ever considered, though, that God might be able to impact your life through a movie? He doesn't need to put God subtitles on the screen to touch your heart. Tonight, Dr. Corbett begins a three-part series looking at the message in the movies. His findings, I think, will surprise and challenge you. Here's Dr. Corbett with his first discussion, The Message in the Movies, The Importance of the Individual.
Mr. Corelli, or Captain Corelli's mandolin. Who's seen that? Okay, well, I'll talk to you. So, in this movie, one of the families there featured has their son tragically killed. And the pain that they went through, the result was that a family, an older couple, had seen this, and it's filmed on one of the Greek islands. And as a result of that, they decided to take a holiday in Greece. And they went to this island where it was filmed. And as they're walking around, they're soaking up the atmosphere, and they're remarking to each other how that couple in the film must have felt the pain of losing their son. And there's a haunting piece of music in there, no doubt played on a mandolin. And it becomes something for them where their hearts reach out to this couple about the same age as them who had lost a son. Well, their holiday was cut short as they were called back home to England, where they had to respond to the news of the sudden death of their own son in a road accident. And at the funeral, they said that they felt God had prepared them through this movie, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, where they had their hearts stirred with empathy and compassion for parents who had tragically lost a son. And their hearts were strangely made at peace because they knew God had prepared them, therefore God had everything in control. And at the funeral, they played the theme from Captain Corelli's Mandolin, and they remembered their own son. And it was a marvellous time of healing. Now, did the producers of Captain Corelli's Mandolin make the film to honour God? No. Did they make the film to have a message to older parents who would lose an older child? Not at all. But did God use that film to speak to somebody? Absolutely. And perhaps you've been to a movie where God has spoken to you. I know I have. Sometimes I just love watching movies just to hear what God can say. I don't know if you do that, but it is possible to hear God speak in different kinds of ways. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God has spoken in diverse ways. And you know that's true. God can speak to you. You may think, I never hear the voice of God, but you may go to a movie and have an impression put in your heart by God. And He's used that movie. And the most amazing thing about God is that He can take a message that He wants to convey to you and even use pagan filmmakers to do it. That is awesome. And He can do it. In this series, as we ponder some of these movies, we really, literally, could do this ad infinitum. We could go on and have a 35-part series. And I've wondered, where do we stop? Because, man, the more I look into these movies, and it's been quite interesting in preparing for this, a number of people said, oh, could you evaluate this movie? Because I love this movie. Could you talk about this movie or this movie? And someone even dared to suggest that I needed to look at Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Good grief. One film critic said the three scariest words he could ever hear in his life after having reviewed Tomb Raider was Tomb Raider 2. Well, the most amazing thing in that movie is that the whole movie, apparently described by one film critic, was edited by Edward Scissorhands. But the movie did not get very good reviews. But here's the amazing thing about some movies which the experts don't like. That movie is the second highest grossing movie for a female lead actor of all time. That made hundreds of millions of dollars. Not that that's anything, because the highest grossing female lead actor of all time was Charlie's Angels, so don't get too excited. But it still did well. Anyway, in that movie, there is a scene where the director actually used Angelina Jolie and her real father, John Voight, who plays Lord Croft. The amazing thing in this movie is that he produced the movie, wrote into the movie the actual argument, the actual issue that did divide Angelina Jolie and John Voight in real life. For 15 years, they'd never spoken to each other. And so in the movie, this one scene, you're going to go home and watch this now, aren't you? Tomb Raider. Just fast forward to this bit, trust me. And in this scene, she's able to go back in time and talk to her father. And the producer-directors actually scripted in a way that they could have real reconciliation. The amazing thing is, they were reconciled through acting out a scene of reconciliation between father and daughter. Amazing. Now, people have seen that movie, seen that scene. Daughters have seen that scene and felt, I need to get things right with my dad. And go and figure that out. Tomb Raider. Can God use if God can use Tomb Raider, there really is a God. You know what I mean? If God can speak through that. But God does speak, and he speaks through all kinds of different movies. I just want to boil some of these movies into three categories and look at some of them. And I'm going to not cover every movie, and then each session we're not going to look at clips from every movie that I mention either, because we would be here all day. But we're going to have a look at what the message in the movie says about individuals. We're then going to have a look at the message in the movies, what the movies say about destiny. We're then going to conclude the series and look at what movies say about justice. Now, these are three themes that recur in the top movies. And I want to show you this. Today, in this session, the message in the movie is about the importance of individuals. If I was to ask you, what is the greatest movie of all time? What is the single biggest box office hit of all time? What would it be? If I was to ask you which is the most critically acclaimed film of all time, what would it be? The answer is the Godfather trilogy. In the movie with Tom Hanks, You've Got Mail, he says in the dialogue of this movie, all of life's problems can be answered in the Godfather trilogy. Now, I don't know what he means by that. Maybe it means if you've got a problem, just shoot it. If you've ever seen the Godfather trilogy, there are scenes of exceptional violence, but, you know, there are also scenes of exceptional tenderness. The amazing thing about this trilogy, and by the way, as we talk about these movies, I am in no way condoning the use of nudity, the use of explicit sex, the use of profanity, not at all. In fact, I've seen movies, perhaps like you, and gone away and thought, they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to put that in. So please, as we look at this, it is my hope that you and I can enter into discussions with people that perhaps we've never really known how to reach for Christ. We've never really known how to talk to people, but one of the most common points of interest among everyone is movies. We've all seen one. We've all probably got a favourite one. I've had couples come to me and say, we have nothing in common. And thought, now there's a hyperbole, which means an exaggeration, that I could easily dismantle. And it can be dismantled with this question. Do you like watching movies?
Well, yeah, we like doing that.
Have you ever done that together?
Well, yeah.
Movies have that effect on people. They can bring people together. And I've heard marriage counsellors say movies are no good because, you know, they don't produce conversation. Well, fair enough too. If you've ever been to the movies and people have been sitting there with a running commentary, you just know how annoying that can be. Apparently, I've been known to do that once or twice when I've seen a movie and taken Kim along and I go, now what's about to happen here? He's like, what did you do that for? Anyway, husbands, you know what I mean. Anyway. So, movies, we're not condoning every part of it. But let's have a look at this series. The Godfather Trilogy. Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola put this trilogy of a fictitious family together. In fact, it is based on the Mafia, which is Italian, my family, the Mafia. And it's a fictitious, I hope, family. The movie series opens with a wedding. In the first part, there are three parts. It was made over a period of over 10 years, nearly 20 years. It opens with a wedding and it closes with a baptism. In the third part, which I'm going to show you a scene from in just a moment, I believe there is one of the most profound pieces of dialogue in movie history. Let me paint the picture for you and let me tell you what we find in this movie, The Godfather Trilogy. Firstly, we find these people are constantly in church. They are in church for weddings. They are in churches for baptisms, infant baptisms. They are in churches for funerals, one or two. They are mingling with the clergy. They are, and eventually in The Godfather Part 3, Michael Corleone is knighted by the Vatican. He's knighted by the Pope. He's made an Order of Saint Sebastian, which is the Catholic equivalent of being knighted. These people are interacting with the church continually. They are surrounded by religion. And you need to know that. They have a strong sense of family. They often refer to the family. They can bring people into the family and they can exclude people from the family. There's a very strong sense of family in this trilogy. The logo for The Godfather is a marionette puppeteer holding the crossbeam piece with strings to control the marionette puppet. And the whole movie is set around, we don't want to be controlled by the system. We don't want people pulling us with strings and controlling us. The irony of that is that they end up setting up the mafia where they are controlling people. They have the strings. And that's the great irony in this, where they don't want to be controlled, yet they want to be absolutely in control. That's the picture of the marionette being with the strings. Who pulls the strings? This movie series shows the absolute futility of sin. If you've ever thought, as is portrayed in this movie, that you can get whatever you want no matter who gets hurt, then this movie will challenge that concept. And in essence, as we look at this, what do movies say about the individual? You have to look at this movie and say, in part one and part two, the individual is cheap. People are killed as soon as looked at. In fact, Michael Corleone's brother, in his own words, injures him. So he orders the execution of his brother. Life is cheap. The individual doesn't matter. What's important is the family. That's a strong message that comes out in part one and part two. But then there's this incredible message that comes out in part three, where Michael Corleone, the Godfather, is craving redemption. Now, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you that are very relevant to this. In Psalm 129, verse 4. But the Lord is good. He has cut the cords used by the ungodly to bind me. You see, what did these mafia characters long for? They longed for freedom. They longed for a life that meant they weren't being controlled or manipulated by the system or anybody in it. You know, God promises that when you come to Him and give your life to Him, He'll cut the cords of those who have bound you. That is good news. In Hosea 11 verse 4, God's word says this: I led Israel with my ropes or my cords or my strings of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck and I myself stooped to feed him. You see, we are in essence created to be like marionette puppets. And the people that crave freedom, the people that crave to cut the strings, end up in a heap on the floor. Yes? We are not designed to be manipulated by someone else other than lovingly and kindly, these two words, led by God. God says, on the one hand, I will cut the strings that control you, yet I will tie my strings to you so you can have life to its full. There's a response to this. I want to show you this one scene. Let me paint the background to this. Michael Corleone, the Godfather, has been in and out of relationships. He has been a leading gangster. He is the head of organized crime in America. He comes to a point where something is growing as an ache in his heart, and he just knows, surprisingly, that it's wrong what he's doing. Even the most hardened person has a conscience. And in this scene, just prior to this, he has heard, after having been knighted by the Vatican, he's heard that the Vatican Bank is in trouble. Somebody has diddled the books. He's heard that the Vatican Bank is in debt to the tune of over $500 million. So he flies to the Vatican. And as a knight of the Order of St. Sebastian, he has access to some of the highest cardinals in the Vatican. The amazing thing is, and if we had the time, I'd show you the scene where the dialogue between the cardinal and himself shows that he is much more righteous than the cardinal. And as he offers, in a business deal, to buy one of the Vatican's businesses, called Immobiliari, the cardinal says, well, you know, if you do pay $500 million for Immobiliari, a Vatican business, it will cancel out the Vatican Bank's debt. And the cardinal takes his glasses off, puts his cigar down for a moment, and says, it seems as if the price of debt cancellation is more valuable than the price of forgiveness. And Michael Corleone, the gangster, the mass murderer, leans across the desk and says to the cardinal, never underestimate the price and the value of forgiveness. What a turnaround. The one who should be saying that didn't. Well, as time turned out, he did pay what turned out to be $600 million because the cardinal wouldn't settle for $500 million. He wanted a slice of it as well. And the cardinal took the money and ran. Very brave thing to do to the head of the mafia. And so now Michael Corleone is disgusted. And he's now seeing a senior cardinal with this predicament. Corleone meets someone he never thought he would meet. He meets a Christian in the church. Catches him completely off guard. And in this whole scene, which is toward the end of the whole trilogy, where Michael Corleone has always met corrupt and corruptible priests and leaders in the church, and where life is cheap, where these cardinals and bishops and archbishops have treated life as disposable, he now meets one man who is very, very sincere and very godly. And you'll notice there that this archbishop said, this cardinal said, "I always have time to save one soul. I always have time to save a soul." And the whole message of individuals don't matter is turned on its head at that point. And as Michael Corleone makes confession, with each confession he makes, that haunting ring of the bell sounds. I don't know if you noticed that. And you'll know that the archbishop picked up that stone and said, from that fountain, it's been sitting there for years, and said, "Just like this stone, smoothed by the water, so are most men in Europe, and so are most people who attend church. They're smoothed by it, they're refined by it, they're influenced by it. Crack, open up, but dry inside." And it says you can be surrounded by the things of God. You can even attend church. You can look good. You can call yourself a Christian on the census form, but Christ may not be living inside you. And that comes out in this movie. The individual does matter. He especially matters to God. I quickly want to look at two more movies. We're not going to show clips from it. The next movie is made by Steven Spielberg. It's been described by many film critics as the greatest World War II movie of all time. It's Saving Private Ryan. You'll know in this movie that the War Office receives a report that five out of six brothers of one family have been killed, and there remains one more, and he's a private and he's serving somewhere embedded near the front in Europe. And so a captain, who's played by Tom Hanks, is dispatched to go and rescue Private Ryan. Now, Private Ryan is one movie in a whole theme that Steven Spielberg has in every one of his movies. Every one of Steven Spielberg's movies has this theme: the value of the individual, the importance of the individual. You see, in this movie, Saving Private Ryan, we have a group of men who make a sacrifice to save one man. And eventually the man leading the rescue mission gives his own life as well. And in his dying moments, he looks up at Private Ryan and he says, "You'd better earn this," and dies. Mother Teresa said this: "To us, what matters is an individual. I believe in person to person. Every person is Christ for me. And since there is only one Jesus, that person is the only person in the world for me at that moment." And Steven Spielberg brings that out very, very powerfully. Life involves sacrifice. An individual's life is invaluable. And then the challenge from this dying captain, as he looks up into the eyes of Private Ryan: "You'd better earn this." Jesus told a story in Luke 15, verse 4. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" God's word also says that the individual is invaluable. Invaluable. You may not have felt that. You may feel that you're just a face in the crowd. You may feel that you can actually hide from God. You may feel that no matter what you do, God doesn't know. But you know that's not true. That's not what Jesus said. You matter. And very powerfully, Steven Spielberg brings that out in this series. You know, where the captain looks up at Ryan and says, "You better earn this," there's a mixed message there. But on the one hand, we could take the message and say, here's a group of men who have laid down their life, and the great irony of the captain who just took a bullet from a man, a Nazi, whom he had just earlier showed pity on. You remember in the movie where they capture the Nazi, this German soldier, and they let him, or the captain, against his men, lets this man go, and it's that man that eventually kills the captain. There's a lesson in that. The things you leave unchecked in your life may well come back to haunt you. And here we have the message that says, now that you know the price that's been paid, you have an obligation to do something with your life. It says in Ephesians 4:1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Knowing the price that's been paid, we have an obligation to live differently. I challenge anyone to see the passion of the Christ and have that realization that he suffered and died for me, and not feel that you can no longer live the same. We're required to live differently. The third movie I want to touch on, and we'll close with this, is another Steven Spielberg movie, Schindler's List. This movie has also been described as one of the greatest movies of all time. This movie was unusual because it was filmed in black and white. There's only one character in the entire movie that has a splash of colour, and it's a girl, and she's wearing a red coat. And Steven Spielberg is sending a message. We don't know the girl's name, we don't know who she is, but you know that one act of cinematography says that little girl's important. We're not introduced to her, we don't know who she is, we don't know what her story is, but she's different. And we're all different. Individuals matter. In the Godfather trilogy, the individual is dispensable. In these movies, the life of the individual is invaluable. Schindler's List. At the end of Schindler's List, you remember that the Jewish community come to Oskar Schindler and present him with a gold ring. And inscribed in that ring is this statement: "He who saves a single life saves the world entire." And as Christians, we can sometimes pray for our community, our world, our state, our nation. But you know, those terms begin with one person we know. He who saves a single life saves the world entire. And that clearly comes out in Schindler's List. Perhaps this scripture, which we've heard many times, has never really resonated as true for us. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." We read that as the world. But you know, when God says that, he's thinking of you and he's thinking of me, individuals. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, Oskar Schindler had a list of every Jew that they knew. And he fabricated skills for them, he fabricated jobs for them, he put them in his bomb-making plant, which during the 5 or 6 years in operation, it never made one bomb. And every person he put on his list and seconded to work in his factory was a life saved. And it cost money to bribe the officials, it cost money for that to happen. And he sold everything he had. And at the end of the movie, you remember, he's there being presented with this ring as a gift. And he leans on his car as he looks at the train carriages that were taking the Jews off to the concentration camps. And he's remorseful. He says, "If only I'd sold this car." And then on his other hand is a ring he already had. He said, "I could, this ring could have been 10 lives. This ring could have saved lives. Oh, I could have done more." All to get on his list. You know, the Bible says there is a list. In fact, it's a list that's so big and so important, it's called the Book of Life. And God's keeping the list. And unlike Santa Claus, he doesn't have to check it twice. And it says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." And so now the question is, are you on that list? To be on Schindler's list meant you saved your natural life. But to be on that list, the Book of Life, means you'll have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are able to speak to us, as it says in Hebrews 1, in diverse ways. And Lord, as we've seen some of the messages that come out in these movies, we know that you are able to speak. And Father, right now there may be people within the sound of my voice that have not got their names written on your list. And so now, Lord, I pray for those people. That Lord, who may have thought they don't matter to you, who may have thought they are of no consequence to you, but Lord, you are able to speak through some of these movies and reinforce the truth of your word that we matter to you. We really matter to you. And that right now, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you know, like Michael Corleone, you may not have done what he has done, but you may have been misguided in thinking, "I'm beyond redemption," as he said to that cardinal. And the cardinal said, "You're never beyond the forgiveness of God." Maybe you know you need that forgiveness right now. I invite you to pray this prayer. And as the cardinal said to Michael Corleone, "You're a practical man. What have you got to lose?" Pray this prayer, and if your life changes, you've gained everything. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin, the things that I have done that have grieved and broken your heart. Help me to forgive those who have wronged me. And I ask now for your forgiveness. Please give me a new start. I pray. Help me to live for you. Amen.
The message in the movies, the importance of the individual. Has tonight's discussion made you look at movies in a different light? God doesn't need to put his subtitles on the screen to touch our hearts, does he? Dr. Corbett continues the Message in the Movies series next week. If you'd like to revisit tonight's discussion in your own time, order a CD copy of the program for $5.50, including postage and handling, from Lagana Media, www.lagana.org, or at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Please quote the program title, "The Message in the Movies, The Importance of the Individual." Finding Truth Matters is a production of Lagana Media. Join Dr. Corbett next week for another Finding Truth Matters.